I'm Jason.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Usually Dave from the Digital Soup Podcast.
A proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts
at GonnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
This is PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We are a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, step out of your TARDIS and warm up your chimichangas, because this is PopXCast.
You are listening to PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental. PopXCast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And welcome, everyone. This is PopXCast, where science fiction meets pop culture. What is up, Team PopX? How in the world are you doing?
Hey.
Doing good, Joseph.
Man, hey. I don't know about you. I was throwing down on that Transformers chiptune remix, man. That was like...
We were like...
I was getting my groove on, you know? I was like, boom, boom, boom. I have no idea what I'm doing right now. But anyway...
That was beautiful.
You just like that boom. All right.
I am Megatron.
Anyway, but so moving on here with the show. How are you doing, Austin? We didn't see you last week. How was your vacay, dude?
It was wonderful. I got, you know, a little bit of tan. You know, I got a little bit of water. We laid on some floaties, and I watched Wonder Woman again for the second time. So it was a great vacation.
Did you see Ninja Turtles?
I did not see Ninja Turtles.
You didn't see Turtles?
I watched Wonder Woman, but not Ninja Turtles.
Oh, man. You need to watch Ninja Turtles. Anyway.
The Quavo.
I have no idea what we're doing right now. Lindsay Badger, how are you doing, my dear?
Doing absolutely wonderful. Enjoying y'all's antics this evening.
You know, I would call Lindsay Badger the master sword to my land of Hyrule.
Whoa.
Really? That's a high honor.
That is a high honor.
That's how we're rolling. Hey, over in the chat room, we want to say hello to the Lounge Network, Mr. Carlos Phoenix, as well as Darth Baca is joining us again this week. Darth, we want to give you a special shout out. We saw what you did on iTunes. Thank you for that glowing 5-star rating, my friend. And just let us know whatever we can do for you here at PopX, and we'll make sure that will happen for you, okay? Thank you so much. But moving on with our show, we would like to welcome everyone right now viewing our live stream. Hey guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I am your lead host, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. We'd like to welcome everyone joining us live in the PopX.live and Geeks.live chat room. Now come hang out with us and join the conversation at PopXcast.com.
I am Austin Burke, the Appalachian Geek at Heart. If you guys missed episode 58, Wonder Woman origin stories and film review, check our official website at PopXcast.com for this and other great past shows from PopX.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I'm Lindsay Badger, your favorite geeky okey. And be sure to head over to Google Play or iTunes after the show and click that subscribe button. Catch up on some amazing shows from the PopX archive. And hey, while you're there, we'd certainly appreciate you showing us some geeky love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review.
Do what Darth Baca did. Just do it.
Yes.
Just do it. Are you guys ready to throw down on some news?
Oh, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We'll be right back.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
Yes. All right. So right off the top of the bat here, guys, we're going to share some pretty cool stuff. We usually don't share statistics about our show on any of our episodes. We haven't. But today we're going to be really transparent because we have some pretty cool stuff. PopX has officially approached almost – this episode will do it – our 5,000th digital download.
Ooh. I dig it.
And we only
a good number.
This is 60 episodes. I mean, tonight's 59, but we've actually had two bonus episodes in our run. So we have this will be technically 61, but it's episode 59. But that is not bad. 5,000 downloads between iTunes and Google Play and all of our amazing carriers that carry. And we just, you know, we want to give a lot of credit to the Gunna Geek Network, too, because they have done – a lot of promoting on their end to put our show out there. And, of course, being a part of their network is truly an honor and a blessing. So
awesome.
From all of us, you know, from Stargate Pioneer and Chris Farrell and John Doe, you guys are just so awesome. Thank you for letting us be on a part of your amazing network.
Yes.
But also with that, we also are coming up on our 3,000th YouTube view. Now that means you can't really compare like 5,000 downloads to 3,000 views. It's not technically a lot. If you look at some YouTube channels, it's like crazy 11 trillion views. But you know what? We're counting our blessings.
Trillion.
A number's a number, man. Hey.
Sorry.
Trillion dollars.
Look, the fact that somebody's going to sit and watch this show, it's amazing. It doesn't matter if it's 1 or 100 or 1,000, and we have to appreciate everybody, and that's a good number, so it's awesome.
Hey, shout out to Herb and the Curb over in the chat room, Herbie. Herbie, man, we love you, bro. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So, all right.
He's listening while washing his car.
Is he?
Yeah.
All the way up in Brownsville, New York, tuning us in this week. Yeah.
Nice.
Herb on the Curb. He's a friend of ours. All right. So let's just dive right on into the news this week. In the wake of the departure of directors Phil Lord. Now, if you've been anywhere in pop culture the past 2 weeks, you know what's going on with the Han Solo solo film. Han Solo. Mm-hmm. Solo. Did you see what I did that? Anyway. So directors Phil Lord and Christopher Miller have left from the upcoming Han Solo Star Wars movie.
Sucks.
And so Lucasfilm has officially announced that Oscar-winning filmmaker Ron Howard, from A Beautiful Mind, The Da Vinci Code, and all kinds of other cool movies, will take over the troubled project. Now, he was on a very short list of filmmakers that also included the film's screenwriter, Star Wars, Lawrence Kasdan, I think I said that right, from Silverado and Dreamcatcher, who they may have denied their job due to DGA regulations, but the original Star Wars trilogy designer Joe Johnston, the Rocketeer, Captain America, the First Avenger, he went on to say that at Lucasfilm, this is actually Kathleen Kennedy say this, at Lucasfilm, we believe the highest goal of each film is to delight, carrying forward the spirit of the saga that George Lucas began 40 years ago, said Kathleen Kennedy, and that is president of Lucasfilm. Now, she went on to say, with that in mind, we're thrilled to announce that Ron Howard will step up in to direct the untitled Han Solo film. We have a wonderful script and an incredible cast and crew and an absolute commitment to make a great movie. Filming will resume on the 10th of July. So, Team Pop X, what are your thoughts about Opie Taylor directing?
Sunday, Monday, happy days. I can't ever hear Ron Howard's name or see his face without thinking about Happy Days because he was on that show and I grew up watching the reruns on Nick at Night.
You know, Ron Howard is an OG when it comes to film directing, but I just can't get How the Grinch Stole Christmas out of my mind.
He's an excellent director if you can get past the Happy Days memories, and I think that he'll do a good job.
Austin, I want to hear from you.
This is a disaster.
Uh-oh.
It's a flat-out disaster. You never hear directors leaving a movie 3 weeks left of filming. Why weren't these problems sorted out not even in the planning phase? Why not after a week of shooting?
Oh, man.
Why do you have to fire two of the greatest directors in Hollywood right now? Because every movie they've directed, whether it's Lego Movie, 21, 22 Jump Street, even Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, they're awesome. They have written great movies. They have great credits to their names. Now, the reports that I'm hearing is this may be more to do with they were taking Han Solo in a direction of more of a comedic character, and that's not Han Solo. Oh, so yeah. I like the fact that they did what they did, but you don't do it with 3 weeks left. You do it with a week into shooting. Okay, they've been filming for a couple months now, and this is absolutely ridiculous. Now, Ron Howard has some great credits to his name, but recently, the last 7 years, his movies have sucked. They have flat out sucked. And he is an old school director, yes. But here's what I think. Okay, he's coming in, he is overseeing everything, and Lawrence Kasdan, who is there, who wrote the film. I think he is technically going to direct this movie. He is just not allowed because of something that there's rules against him not being allowed to step in, and that's a completely different story. But I think he is actually doing this, and Ron Howard is just going to oversee, and since he is a classical director, he's going to make everyone feel a lot better. And hopefully this turns out like World War Z, which was a disaster, but it actually turned out to be a decent movie. Hopefully this turns out to be a decent movie, and if it's great, then it was awesome.
All right. You heard it here first, folks. And you know what, Austin, we'll go on to the next one really quickly, but I just wanted to say when I first heard Ron Howard directing, I just couldn't think of Joel Schumacher. Joel Schumacher just kept coming into my mind because he's kind of along the same line. I don't want to say exactly like a carbon copy because Joel Schumacher and Ron Howard are two totally different opposites. But if you look if you look at the film style and the directing style,
Yeah. It's scary. It's scary. But we're going to move on to something that is, however you look at it, it's brighter or worse. Transformers. Okay, so the box office officially has reached $265 million globally in 5 days. Now, director Michael Bay's reportedly last Transformers movie, Transformers The Last Night, opened to a franchise low $69.1 million domestically in its first 5 days in 4,069 theaters. So that is 45.3 for the three-day weekend. The debut falls trails the first Transformers three-day opening of $70.5 million in 2007. The most recent film, Transformers Age of Extinction, opened to $100 million in its first 3 days in 2014, made for $217 million. The Last Night stars Mark Wahlberg, Josh Duhamel, Anthony Hopkins, Jared Carmichael, Laura Haddock, and Isabella Moner. Now, are you guys impressed with this box office, or is it maybe time to do something different?
I think it's time that he puts his Transformer hat up on the wall and he walks out and he hands it over to a brand new, fresh set of eyes, much like that of George Lucas.
Yes, please.
I don't want to say forced to step down from his role, but after those three prequels, I'm good. But, you know, I'm not discrediting Michael Bay, but on the same token, I think we've had so much of the same thing from the past four films, and every film is a carbon copy of number one. It's just
– which was a good movie.
But, you know, we're going to talk about The Last Night here in a minute, and if you're a fan of it, we may actually tear it a new one. So just be ready for that, okay?
It's going to hurt. All right. It's going to hurt like that.
Go for it, Lindsay. Go for it, Lindsay.
Okay. All right. So we're going to move on. Teased in last year's X-Men Apocalypse, Dazzler is heading to the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
EW has confirmed that Allison Blair will be featured in a small role in next year's X-Men Dark Phoenix. No one has been cast quite yet, but the magazine notes that Taylor Swift is not planning to play the part. I guess I missed that. That was a hint that
they were speculating.
the musician was long rumored for a Dazzler cameo after appearing on social media posts from the X-Men Apocalypse set. Dazzler first appeared in the 1980s Uncanny X-Men number 130, the second issue of the Dark Phoenix saga. Although the character began as a cross promotion between Marvel Comics and Casablanca Records. An unrealized plan was to develop a Dazzler movie. Allison Blair has the ability to generate fantastic display of light. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Hiding the fact that she's the one generating them, Dazzler uses her powers to support her music career, quickly becoming a star.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like Gem the mutants.
It's kind of like a little bit. It is Marvel Comics' version of Jim. She's just an X-Men mutant. That's the only
Jim the mutant that has her own pyrotechnics.
So I think what we're doing is they're going into the next generation of X-Men movie, and we've already seen that Fassbender's coming back, and a lot of the old original ones are coming back to reprise the roles. And I think they're getting ready to really try to incorporate something. And of course, with the Mr. Sinister drop in the last movie, we kind of have a little taste of things possibly to come in the next film. So hopefully, Fox can. I've actually enjoyed the X-Men films. They're not my favorite films. Logan, Logan and Deadpool by far are my favorite films. So, but yes, I'm excited for the next X-Men franchise. I'll definitely watch it and own it because those are really good series. But moving on with the news this week, this is coming out of Warner Brothers Pictures, Universal Studios rather. It's exactly 1 year to the day that the upcoming Jurassic World sequel will hit theaters. And Universal Pictures has now confirmed the title of the film, which will be Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. So with all of the wonder, adventure, and thrills synonymous with one of the most popular and successful film franchises in cinematic history, this all-new motion picture event sees the return of some favorite characters and dinosaurs, along with new breeds more awe-inspiring and terrifying than ever before. So welcome to Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Now, Jeff Goldblum is also reprising his role as Dr. Ian Malcolm, so that is something to look forward to. We haven't seen him since The Lost World, which was film two. So this is going to be really, really cool, I think. And it's going to be – and also I think E.B. Wong is coming back to play the scientist as well in this one. Of course, we know him from Gotham as he plays Dr. Doctor Strange.
How many more Jurassics do you think they're going to make?
I think, you know, honestly, with what they're doing with Chris Pratt's role and his new kind of the heroic role that he's playing with the Jurassic World franchise, I think they could probably easily pull off maybe even a trilogy out of all of these. And I think they're doing really good. This is a really good reboot for the Jurassic World franchise. I'm definitely on the Jurassic World train. So
I am too. And I think if they can continue because the first one unexpectedly made $1.6 billion, which is incredible. If they can continue on the upward or at least moderately close to that, I think they'll keep going like Star Wars. I don't think they'll ever stop, because if they can make over $1 billion on every movie, money talks. And whether they do it like a Transformers and start making crap films, but I don't think they will, because they have the talent there and they have the characters and they have the director. So I hope they do a good job with what they have.
Okay.
But Lindsay, did you have something?
I'm good.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to move on to something that is awesome and I have been thinking about for the last week and a half.
Me?
We've known for some time.
Oh my God, where is my unicorn pretzels?
I always think about you.
Oh my gosh,
right.
You guys just flirt
along. It's weird because we're cousins and we're not supposed to be doing this, but we are, and it's really edgy. All right, Austin, go ahead.
Unicorn pretzels. We've known for some time that the upcoming Avengers Infinity War would have a giant scope, with the Russo brothers themselves teasing as many as 67 characters for the film. Sorry, unicorn pretzels. Speaking with Stephen Colbert himself, a resident of the Marvel Universe and the pages of Amazing Spider-Man, on The Late Show, star Scarlett Johansson teased a scene where over half of the gigantic cast together. I think in one particular scene, there's like 32 of us. There's a lot. There's so many of us that I don't even know who's a Marvel character and who's a crew member. Honestly, said Johansson. Filming officially started on Monday, January 23rd, 2017 for the Avengers sequel, which sees Earth's mightiest heroes teaming up with the Guardians of the Galaxy to take on Brolin's Thanos. Marvel's Avengers Infinity War is slated for release in theaters on May 4th. 2018, with the still untitled fourth Avengers movie set for May 3rd, 2019. Does anybody else have an erection right now?
There's stuff going on. Yeah. I can't explain it. I have emotions and feelings that I can't describe, and I have hair in funky places.
This is some of the great. I mean, if this movie does not just blow everything else out of the water.
Right, let me just stop for a second. For the first time in cinematic history, we are having a film that is combining some of the biggest names in talent. Chris Evans, Scarlett Johansson, Ruffalo, Robert Downey. I mean, I just can keep going on, but you're talking 67 Marvel comics.
67!
Can we just stop for a minute and just say, whoa.
There's a
tear coming down my – this has never been done in cinematic history. And you got to – I'm having a total fanboy moment right now. I'm just like
Oh, Carlos.
But anyway.
I mean – no words.
Herbie in the chat room says, I've got a semi, so yeah.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Well, before they have to start bringing out the mop and bucket, I guess I should move on to the next.
Yes, Lindsay. Right. Clean us up, Lindsay. Take it away. Bring us out the tissue box.
That's why you have me around. I'm just like,
yeah, I'm just going to mute my microphone. Go ahead and do what you got to do.
All right, kids. Let's get this car back on the road. You're so
funny. All right, continue.
All right. Warner Brothers Pictures and Legendary Pictures have announced the upcoming Godzilla sequel.
Godzilla.
of course I got the news with the Godzilla. Okay, the next chapter in their cinematic monsterverse has officially begun production.
It has.
The new story follows a heroic efforts of the cryptozoological agency Monarch, and its members face off against a battery of god-sized monsters, including the mighty Godzilla, who collides with Mothra, Rodan, and his ultimate nemesis, the three-headed king, Ghidorah. When these ancient super species thought that they were mere myths, when they rise again, they will vie for supremacy, leaving humanity's very existence hanging in the balance. Filming is taking place mainly in Atlanta, Georgia, and a presentation of Warner Brothers Pictures and Legendary Pictures. The film is currently scheduled for release in March of 2019 and will be distributed in 3D and 2D and in select IMAX theaters by Warner Brothers Pictures. We got some more monkey business.
Cool. And so, too, if we saw Kong, Skull Island, we know that there was a huge – we covered this on one of our previous podcasts. There was a huge Godzilla drop. And when Monarch discovered some of the fossilized remains of these giant creatures, and we are hoping that in some way, shape, or form in the new Godzilla, there will be a Kong drop, which will actually bring together the god-sized creatures. So very awesome indeed. So moving on. Ooh, I get this one. This is really fun. So series star and producer Mr. Ryan Reynolds, a.k.a. the Merc with the Mouth, Deadpool, took to Twitter last week to confirm the start of production and the upcoming Deadpool Número 2. So this is going to be awesome. Reynolds posted a photo in costume from the Hatley Castle in Vancouver. The exterior is set for the X-Mansion. We all know that is a pretty famous castle in the X-Men series. Yes. And so the writer, Rhett Reese, chimed in as well, confirming that we have begun. Ryan Reynolds leads a cast of newcomers that includes Zazie Beetz as Domino and a luck-manipulating mutant, and Josh Brolin as Cable. Now, this is going to be pretty exciting. This is future Cyclops and Jean Grey's super. This is going to be really crazy how this is going to work.
We learned all about him.
We did.
Oh, yeah.
Origin stories right here on PopX. Go check it out. But the time-traveling son of X-Men's Apocalypse. So we also have Jack Kesey, the Strain, from The Strain and Baywatch. Meanwhile, is attached to play the film's centralized villain, which, while unconfirmed, is rumored to be the Irish mutant Black Tom Cassidy. Now, Japanese actress Shioli Kutsana has also joined the film as a mystery role as well. But we finally have Deadpool's love interest, Domino, coming back. So this is this is going to be good stuff right here. So I'm definitely excited for Deadpool 2, and I hope that they pull it out. I'm really I was kind of sad when Tim Miller left because he made Deadpool 1 the film that it was, and so it's going to be interesting to see. But you know, we got to be real for a second. Ryan Reynolds is the controlling force behind the entire franchise.
Yes.
So
yes.
If Ryan Reynolds' name is still attached to it, it's still probably going to be freaking awesome. So.
Mm-hmm. And if Ryan Reynolds kind of not steers the ship, but gives as much input as he needs to with the directing skills of the guy who did John Wick, you know the action's going to be good. So if we can combine the comedy from the last movie with even better action, oh, this could be better than Deadpool 1. So let's move on here. The Justice League composer has been found today as The Hollywood Reporter brings word that legendary composer Danny Elfman will score the superhero ensemble. The four-time Academy Award nominee is no stranger to the worlds of DC Comics. And in fact, he has already composed themes for two members of the Justice League. He scored Tim Burton's 1989 Batman and the 1992 follow-up Batman Returns, and also provided the theme for the 1990 The Flash TV series. What do you guys think of Danny Elfman as the Justice League composer, and what is your favorite Danny Elfman score? Right off the bat, I'm a big fan of the Spider-Man score. I love the Spider-Man score. I think it's phenomenal. I think it's the Batman score is my favorite, but the Spider-Man score is something that I think is going to live on as maybe the best Spider-Man. Now, we'll have to see what Homecoming gives us, but I think Danny Elfman's an awesome composer, and although I'm going to miss the other guy because he did a good job with BVS, I think this is a pretty cool move.
Well, Danny Elfman is a rock star when it comes to movies.
Yeah.
And I, for the longest time, I swore that Danny Elfman, Johnny Depp, and Tim Burton were having like a love triangle because all of their movies have all three of them in it. And I think that he has such colorful imagination and a wide variety of creativity that you can go from as silly as Oompa Loompas or creepy as like Edward Scissorhands or anything along those lines, and you can bring it back into the superhero world. So I'm really excited to see where he's going to go with the sound.
Absolutely.
For me, I knew Danny Elfman when he was in Oingo Boingo. You know, some of his greatest 80s music came from that rock band. Oh, and, you know, I just, you know, Dead Man's Party and you know, just I can't even begin to think. But Danny Elfman's music has definitely...
He did Beetlejuice as well, didn't he?
One of the best pieces, I think, was Edward Scissorhands.
I think he did.
Edward Scissorhands, man. That was just like...
That's phenomenal.
Beetlejuice.
It's
Beetlejuice. That's not to get Beetlejuice. And so for me, I would have to say my favorite Danny Elfman score would definitely be Edward Scissorhands. I began to fall in love with Tim Burton's work, but I began to fall in love with Danny Elfman's work at that time too. And that was right on the cusp of his opening into the cinematic scoring. And for me, just that music, it's just very enchanting, mesmerizing, and haunting in a way. So, but definitely that one in number two would definitely be Batman 1989. But moving on.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
So go ahead and this Badgez. Is it you or me?
I can go. Well, that's cool.
Do it. Yeah.
I can't remember.
I can't remember. Okay. According to the latest issue of Empire, the Bumblebee movie that will serve as Paramount Pictures' first Transformer spinoff will be set in the 1980s, aka the heyday of the Transformers brand's popularity. Does this mean we'll finally get to see him as a yellow Volkswagen Beetle? As opposed to the mere tribute car in the first movie. The article also notes that the Bumblebee movie will feature less Autobots and Decepticons than the typical Transformers outing, with the spotlight mainly on Bumblebee and the tone is geared more towards younger audiences. Hallie Steinfeld will star in the film as a tomboy who also holds a job of a mechanic after school. Travis Knight, who directed the Oscar-nominated stop-motion film Kubo, and Kubo and the Two Strings for the animation studio Laika, how you say Laika? Laika is directing Bumblebee. Christina Hodson from Shut In wrote the script, so that's going to be neat. It's kind of exciting.
Yes, it is, and so I think if they do it right, we may. Ooh. And I got this out just for this. We may actually, if this is done. In the what we're being teased and some of the things that we're being told about, it's going to be done in a retro style, more traditional to this source material. And it's going to be geared towards more of a younger audience, which means that it's going to be probably – I just hope it's like 80s retro bliss. And when we watch this, we – not only will it appeal to the young viewer who's, you know, kind of new to Transformers, but those who really truly love Transformers and have followed it throughout the years will just fall in love with it all over again. That's what I'm hoping will happen with this new Bumblebee movie. So,
two words.
Yes.
Travis Knight. Travis Knight. Phenomenal writer, and he got his chance with Kubo and the Two Strings and murdered it. So let's see what he does with live action. I have faith.
All right, guys. We're about ready to wrap up this week's. I got a couple more things we want to share, and I also want to drop Darth Baca over there. He reminded me of something that the Castlevania TV series animated is coming to Netflix. So if you're a fan of the original Nintendo Entertainment System video game series, that's basically went through, you know what, we had Nintendo, SNES, Nintendo 64-bit, you know, all the way up to GameCube and Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, 3DS. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite franchises. I'm a huge Castlevania and then Metroid. They're my two favorite franchises from that. So I want to say in the line of video games, this is something that I just remembered while I was here on the podcast, and I wanted to add it in there. Sega this past week has confirmed that their entire complete digital library of video games are coming to Android and iOS in the next month.
Oh my Lance.
Are you ready for this?
I'm so excited.
The rumor has it from E3 that it's going to be a free download.
Oh, shut the front door.
I'm going to throw up.
So, you can definitely check comicbook.com for all that news, but that is going to be pretty freaking awesome. And also,
there was another little nugget of video game goodness dropped this week too, Joe.
Which one?
Atari announced that they're doing a new system, but they don't have any details yet.
Yes, yes, the Atari box. I? Yeah, Atari. What is it? Atari box. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
It's pretty. It's got a little wood grain top.
It looks like the vintage Atari 2600 with the wood finish. You remember that console? So this one is actually going to be an upgraded. It's going to have like gigs of RAM. It's going to have a solid state hard drive. It's going to be Wi-Fi compatible. This thing is, they are for the first time in almost 30 years coming back to compete with Sony and Xbox in the video game home market. So
life is good.
All right, so right quick before we go into Transformers, we got a PopX hit of the week. Don't go nowhere. Be right back.
And now it's time for PopX's hit of the week.
All right, so PopX's hit of the week is this awesome little comic book. Now, this is something I picked up in the stores this past week. This is Weapons of Mass Destruction, and this takes place in The Incredible Hulk, Logan,
of Mutant
and Destruction. The Wolverine. The mutant, if you will, timelines and genres. So basically, Weapons of Mass Destruction is what has happened is they have combined the Incredible Hulk's physical form, his gamma mutant DNA and all that, with that of Wolverine. So he's going to have an adamantium skeleton with claws, and not only Hulk already heals quickly, he's going to be able to heal. I mean, look at the Incredible Hulk has claws.
He's invincible.
So this is going to be a really interesting crossover, and I think Marvel Comics is kind of being ballsy on this one, and they're actually trying something totally new. But I do want to share this one thing. I'm not going to share the whole thing because it's a really good comic. But if you check out that one thing there he is in the tank, and his claws are out, and you can just kind of see. So this is going to be an interesting read. I definitely recommend you pick this up at your local comic store or on Comixology. I think it's $3.99 on Comixology. It's a really cheap read, but definitely check it out. All right.
It was Weapons of Mutant Destruction, correct?
Weapons of Mutant Destruction, yes.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I know I said Weapons of Mass Destruction. I must have been like reading CNN headlines before I
came. He will be a weapon of mass destruction.
He will be, definitely.
Yeah. Well, the rumor has it from what we're getting from Marvel is that he's going to be able to pretty much eradicate all mutants. He's a mutant killer.
Wow.
So I don't know where they're going to go with that, but that's going to be cray cray right there. So moving on here, we're going to actually go into our Transformers Last Night segment. And so we're going to roll that beautiful spoiler alert warning. So if you have not seen Transformers The Last Night, the brand new movie that came out just last week. If you haven't seen it, now will be your time to either pause or, you know, maybe go and have yourself a Pringle break or something. I don't know. But so we'll be right back.
Unicorn
after
pretzels?
Unicorn pretzel. Yeah, have yourself a unicorn pretzel. Extra salty. We'll be right back.
Danger. You are about to enter a Pop-X spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
All right. You have been warned, ladies and gentlemen. So,
well, and before you guys dive deep into the world of Transformers, if you guys haven't already, make sure you share this out. Let your friends know how awesomely geeky this show
Let
is.
Them know.
Yes. Spread it like a venereal disease, but one that has a cure.
Yes. Antibiotic. Yes.
Yes. It feels good on the whole. All right. So, I don't know what we're doing right now. I'm so sorry for that. If there's anybody from my church watching this right now, I can't
Dear
really
Lord,
think,
baby Jesus.
Dear Lord. I know what we're doing. I know exactly what we're doing.
All right. So
we're popping. All
right. So, all right, Austin, I want to kind of turn the segment of the show over to you because I think it just kind of feels good to have a transition, and I want you to be able to bring back some, give us some old with some new.
Mm.
Go for it.
Mm. All right, so the Transformers, they've been a part of our culture for decades, right?
Yeah.
And most of us around this, you know, mine to Joe to Lindsay's age, know it originally from its 1980s animated incarnation that made us love Optimus, love all the characters, love Megatron, voiced by Frank Welker, who also does it in the new movie, by the way. What a cool throwback. And then, of course, we get the movie in 1986 that, spoiler alert, kills Optimus Prime. And now that was a ballsy decision. This was a decision that nobody saw coming, and this was a show geared toward children, right? You have this huge emotional moment in a movie that mostly kids are watching. This is going to affect kids. This is going to affect adults. This made a huge impact in pop culture and brought Transformers from where it was to, hey, this is one of the big brands such as Star Wars, such as, you know, Marvel, such as DC. And Transformers, through and through, throughout the 20, 25 years that they didn't have anything that was major, lived on. All right? Now, in 2005, it was announced that The Rock director Michael Bay was going to helm the live-action version. And while no one knew what to expect, everyone was excited, right? Mm-hmm. Because Michael Bay was a pretty solid – I mean, he had a couple, but he was a pretty solid director. And the first one delivered. Now, it was not universally praised, but fans ate it up. Amazing visuals, interesting characters, and intense action. And then he decides to follow that up with a very rushed movie because of the writer's strike in Revenge of the Fallen. And boy, did that show. Okay. From then on, the franchise just never really delivered the way that the first one did. Now, I go into every movie with the hopes and dreams that they'll be good because I love these characters so much. And I'm sure you guys are the same way, but I don't think they have delivered the way that us as fans wanted them to. And critics are way out there and they hate these movies more than anything I've ever seen. But to the fans, I don't think they've delivered to the fans. Now, I like Dark of the Moon, and it's the only one that I moderately got since the first Transformers. But I really, really enjoyed the first one. All in all, they've been a train wreck critically. And now box office wise, internationally, you know, the last movie skyrocketed. But the last night, as we reported earlier, is showing the lowest domestic opening weekend, and international numbers, while still they're high, right? And it's going to make plenty of money. They've been cut in half in certain countries. Now, I looked into this. Certain countries that it's released in, such as Korea and the UK, the Age of Extinction opened in 40 million, 30 million, and 20 million. This one opened 20 million, 10 million, 5 million. Yeah. You see, while the numbers are still big, and it's still going to make $500 million at least.
Yeah.
They're going down. And this franchise has so much potential. You think it's making money now? Imagine if it had the critical reception as a Wonder Woman or a Logan. We're talking $1.5 billion easy. We're talking on the same level of maybe The Force Awakens if we had a 92% Rotten Tomatoes Transformers movie. Are you kidding me? A brand that already makes $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And these, for the majority, these movies suck. But listen, as Transformers fans, the Bumblebee movie has a solid director in Travis Knight. It takes place in the 80s. What if this could be a chance for a soft reboot in the vein of X-Men? right? Yeah. Michael Bay's leaving. Michael Bay is leaving. This movie takes place in the 80s. Now, we may have the same Bumblebee character, but it's going to be a completely different style. If this movie works, we can still – we don't even have to say it's the same universe, but we can still have these same characters. Peter Cullen voicing Optimus Prime, Frank Welker voicing Megatron, but a soft reboot, reboot the entire series. I think that could be a hit, and I think these movies could potentially be off awesome. I have faith. I know you guys have faith. We just have to find out. Joe? That's all I got.
Well, I mean, I actually think you pretty much hit the nail on the head. We have been given the same dinner for the past four servings. And,
yes.
You know, going into the theater, personally, I went in with kind of a clean slate. I was like, all right, first and foremost, Rotten Tomatoes. All the critics were paid off to leave their reviews off until the opening night.
Yeah. That's scary. That's a bad sign.
And the thing I said, and why would the film companies do that to leave? IGN didn't have any reviews. Comic book, superhero, hype.com, nor was it Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb.
You know something's up with that.
And
going down.
I was like, this is kind of weird. And this is either going
to be. I didn't see the score until after I watched the movie. You know, that's how bad it was.
It was either going to be really good or really bad.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it, but it was kind of really bad. And the thing about it is everything in it is predictable. From the time you see the big bad to the time that you see – everything is predictable. From the opening segments of the Knights of the Round Table, you pretty much at that point know, okay, this is going to be around the staff. They're going to have – the staff is lost. They're going to have to find it, and it's the only way. And pretty much I was right on the head. They had to find the staff. Yep. They had to do this and blah, blah, blah. Everything was so freaking predictable. You think of Wonder Woman, for example. We were totally sidetracked with who the supervillain was. We were always just so set on this one guy, this one Nazi big bad, but it was the guy that was right in front of you the whole time. And we didn't know it. There was no
– yeah, that one got me.
There was no jolt. There was no throw in there to like give fans that, oh, wow, that – or Iron Man 3, the Mandarin. You know, who is the big bad here? And everything was just so predictable. And yes, don't get me wrong, this movie on a scale is visually stunning. It will wow you. If you watch it on a 70-inch or plus HD 4K TV, you'll probably sit there with your mouth dropped open because the visuals are that good. The story, on the other hand, that's a different thing for a different day. But, you know, I have to say – I enjoyed the film, and here lately I've kind of gotten into a mindset. This is where my mind has been focused on, and especially with these kind of movies. You know, going in to see Transformers, there was a couple other movies this past year that we reviewed just kind of been, you know what I'm saying. But I go in, did the movie entertain me? Yeah, I enjoyed it. There were some slow parts that just kind of made me want to go, you know, but... Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm not letting it – I'm trying to stay away from the Rotten Tomatoes world as much as I can just to kind of get a film for what it is and make my own assumption about it before I go and read somebody else's. Then all of a sudden your brain is auto-implanted. Well, this is going to be a sucky film before I even go and sit in the seat. Why am I doing this? Why am I wasting, you know, $12 on a movie ticket to where – But, you know, if I'm going in for the entertainment value, and that's where I'm trying to be lately with these movies, especially Michael Bay's Transformers series. But, Lindsay, you saw bits and pieces of it. You didn't see the whole movie, but, you know, you can be as brutally honest as you want to be here. I mean,
I dozed off in the middle of the movie.
Well, there you go.
That's how.
Yeah.
It's how much it brings you in with the storyline. Is I mean, yes, you have your super personalities of each individual Transformer robot, and even the little bitty ones too. They always entertain me. I always enjoy them and their personalities, and that carries through all of the movies.
Right.
And it was the same for this movie as well. The as you said, the visuals were fantastic, and it's just it dragged
a lot.
And I was just like, okay, I know this is I'm trying to keep it neutral, and then all of a sudden I wake up and I'm like, oh, Optimus Prime came back.
But when why, did that happen? Why is he you're like and you know
I missed apparently a very important chunk of the movie, so I can't give a full and honest review of my opinion. But what I saw was meh.
And let me say this, Austin, you're gonna agree with me on this. All right, so Nemesis Prime. All right, let's talk about it. You know, Optimus Prime is possessed by Quintessa. Yes. And did this not feel like Batman versus Superman to you, Martha?
I wrote that down in my notes.
Did you really?
I wrote the Martha moment down seriously? In my notes. I swear to God, I'm looking at it.
Okay, now.
Oh, I'll get there, Joe.
For all
I'll
of our PopX listeners, we have not looked at each other's notes. We all come into this with our own mindset.
Nope.
But that's freaky awesome that you wrote that down, because I was just thinking, all right, so we had all this buildup with Optimus Prime being mind-controlled by Quintessa. And you think – and of course, we saw the trailers and Optimus Prime is getting ready to bring his big sword back and just give it to Bumblebee. And he's like, I'm sorry, Bumblebee. And it's just – you just see this and you just think that, you know, this is going to be a bad deal. This is going to go down bad. Optimus Prime is the big villain in this. No. Literally in the chain. All right. No. So here's spoiler alert. Bumblebee decides to talk. And somehow magically, Optimus Prime's eyes go from purple back to his blue. And he's like, this is it. This is it. Listen. This is exactly almost verbatim. I'm sorry, Bumblebee. You have reminded me of my true origin. Really? We had all this build-up with Nemesis Prime. That is almost like...
Okay, you know what would have been really funny there as like a jab back to Batman versus Superman was for Bumblebee to say Martha in Batman, in Superman's voice.
He may as well have said Martha. Martha! Like, he should have just said it, because I was sitting there like, well, I'm not invested. I've been sitting here waiting.
Optimus Prime, and my name is Martha.
They marketed this whole movie. This whole movie was marketed based upon Optimus Prime being evil. He's in the movie for like 11 minutes. He's evil for like 3 minutes. And the whole fight
done.
Is in the trailer. The entire fight is in the trailer.
The whole trailer actually shows the entire fight. I'm not joking. And literally, so we don't even know about Quintessa. They left that part out of the trailer. Honestly, it doesn't really make much of a difference anyway. But you go in here, you think, oh my gosh, you know, it's going to be Optimus versus...
She looks like a tiny Medusa.
But it's going to be like Optimus versus Bumblebee. You know, I was kind of like thinking that in the back of my head. I mean, like, man, this is going to be like Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Oh, it was.
It was exact carbon copy almost.
Predictable.
I'm at a loss here, man. I really am, and it's just
here. I got
okay. Go ahead.
The one-liners that was said after that moment. I wrote this down. I actually wrote this down after. I wrote a lot of stuff down during the movie. I was on my notepad the whole time. So, they said Optimus says as soon as that part goes down, they turn around. Optimus says, "Say hello to my little friend," and Bumblebee jumps over him and says, "Sting like a bee." At that point. I wanted to walk out of the theater, but I didn't, because my brother and I were laughing so hard. We were actually having a good time. We were actually enjoying ourselves. And you know what? What makes me so mad is, and I'll get into all the crap here in a second. What makes me so mad is this movie had potential.
Yes.
Because there were good writers, and the storyline with Optimus Prime was so cool. Seeing Optimus in space and Optimus doing all of his stuff on the side was great, but we only got about 10 to 11 minutes of it. And the rest of the stuff was complete and utter crap, other than the visual effects and the fighting at the end, which was entertaining as always. But the problem is this movie had so many cuts and so many jarring scenes and so many one-liners and so many characters that you didn't care about that I didn't care about anything going on at the end. And can we talk about the aspect ratio of the movie real quick? Most of the time, when you have a movie that is filmed with normal cameras and with IMAX cameras, you go scene to scene where it shifts from a full screen to where the black bars are in it.
Yeah.
Not moment to moment. This movie had one character talking and there were black bars. Then it would cut to another character talking and it'd be the whole screen. And then it would cut to another character talking and the black bars would still be there, but they'd
this
be
is
smaller.
True. This
and
is,
that
yeah.
happened the whole movie.
Yeah.
The entire movie.
If you remember setting in there, you would actually see the aspect ratio of the film was totally off. Totally
it was so
off.
Jarring, and it ruined the one part of these movies that I actually like, which is the visual effects.
Yeah.
For me, it ruined it. It completely ruined it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's all good.
I need to calm down.
It's okay, man. So
yeah.
So let's go ahead and just wrap it up. And I don't want to wrap it up, but we're going to share here in a minute some very quick things that we found as Easter eggs. But before we do that, let's go ahead and just chime in on what we actually thought about the film. And I'll go first. I'll lead us out. So when I first saw the movie, I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, man, this is really good. I even texted Austin. I was like, man, this might be my favorite in the franchise. But actually now coming home and having to digest the film and think about it in retrospect and the horrible one-liners and just how poor the dialogue was between, you know, the Decepticons and the Autobots and I was just really starting to think, oh my God, this is kind of a stinker. This is not a good film. And for me, the visuals are always the one that just makes it feel good for me. It's my feel.
Yes.
And that's where they get this movie right. Visually, you will be blown away at the scale and scope of, you know, you actually have their home planet coming down to Earth. And Cybertron is coming to meld with Unicron, which is Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But my goodness, the marketing for this movie was just done so poorly.
Oh, it was
and
awful.
So wrong, because we actually going into the movie thought it was going to be a battle between Bumblebee and Optimus Prime, which for me really freaking makes no sense. It's like Batman versus Superman. Why would Batman go up against Superman anyway? Because the son of Krypton is going to win every single freaking time.
Every time.
So I had no reason. And then you find out that literally his possession on film between the fight is like less than 8 minutes. It was almost less than 8 minutes. And then the one-liner where Bumblebee actually decides to talk for the first time, and he's went through five films and never spoke, and right at the end of this one, he speaks for the first time. And that was just kind of that deciding moment. I was like, so he could have talked the entire time instead of playing the car radio.
Yes.
Why?
Explain it.
Because, I mean, if you think about that little reveal, you know, he really didn't need the voice modulator box or anything like that. He could have spoken in Transformers Part 1.
Yes, he could have. And didn't they slightly fix it at the end of that movie? At the end of Transformer 1, he said a couple of words. He said a few words
in
the very
last
scene.
Yeah.
And then the second one, they just completely
disbanded.
Threw it out the window. Yeah.
So for me, having processed all of this, having thinking about all of this, and just the horrible dialogue, I mean, it really is a jab to those who truly enjoy these great works that have been coming out from the 1980s. I mean, this is right here is Peter Cullen's greatest work. And this is fan fiction that will go down in the history of time. When everybody thinks about Transformers, we automatically go back to 1986 and this film, which also had Leonard Nimoy in it as well as a voice of Unicron. But for me, I have to think – if I was giving this a number, 5.7.
Okay.
5.7 for me.
That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
Pretty fair.
I mean, visually is what did it for me.
Stunning, man. And I completely – and I guess I'll go ahead and – listen, there are so many things. If you are not – because I'm a movie critic. I've watched 37 movies this year, okay? I watch a movie every single week because I love film so much. And when I get free time, that's what I'm doing. So I look at movies probably in a harsher way than most other people look at movies. And I like movies that Rotten Tomatoes don't like. And I don't like movies that Rotten Tomatoes like all the time. But the thing is, on this one, I agree more with the critics than I have on any other Transformers movie, just because this movie to me felt like everybody involved just did not care, except for the guys who did the visual effects. I thought the visual effects in this film was a step up from Age of Extinction, because I thought Age of Extinction was a complete train wreck, even in that sense, because whoever did the visuals, I didn't think they were even better than the third one, right? But this movie, the visuals are great. That's where it ends for me, because this movie was so jarring. It was directed so poorly. I did not know what was going on. An hour and 45 minutes into the movie is when I wrote down in my notepad, I'm finally starting to enjoy myself. An hour and 45 minutes into the
movie.
That's
a long time.
Because the entire movie, and this is the shortest Transformers movie, the entire movie, my brother and I just could, and my brother, who is 17 years old, we could not stop laughing at the things that were said. Mm-hmm. The dialogue was just so off. And it would start these storylines with the scientists at the computers and the government officials and the military. And they would not cut back to those guys until 45 minutes later on in the movie. Why are they in the film? Why are these guys in the film other than to get a paycheck? And even Anthony Hopkins, who I think is a phenomenal actor, he was enjoying himself. I'll give him that. He was having a blast. But his when he said dude, when Anthony Hopkins goes,
that was,
dude, I was like,
why did
Anthony Hopkins doesn't say dude?
No, it was like, who would write such a I don't want to even say the word, but you know what I'm getting ready to say. Such a crappy line for such a seasoned, phenomenal
veteran
actor, Anthony Hopkins. Yeah. How dare you? I mean, you think of Anthony Hopkins in Thor. That's good stuff. That's good acting.
Yes.
When he actually yells at his son in Loki, you can feel the emotion in his voice and see the tears going down his cheeks. That is good acting. That is good dialogue. That's good script writing. This was just thrown together, and it was a discredit to this veteran actor, and I hope that fans will know that going into this. It's truly sad.
I have a question about Bumblebee.
Sure.
Okay.
When did he get his regeneration superpower? Because it wasn't in the first movie.
That's exactly what I said. Because in the first movie, his legs get cut off, and Megan Fox has to drive him back of a truck. On a tow truck. And that – where did he get those – where did he get those? The continuity in this movie. There are three instances that I noticed, and I won't go through all of them. That's one of them where the continuity just does not make sense from the first one, from the second one, and from the third one till now. It does not make sense. And they gave no credit to continuity at all.
No.
Zero sense.
No rhyme or reason. There's no connection between. There's no story. There's no tie-in. There's nothing that fans will look at and go, okay, so that explains that. That explains – none of that exists.
And
in this
even
film.
Even Optimus Prime, a character that I love, how many times are you going to say I am Optimus Prime? Because in this movie he says it five
Optimus
times.
Prime.
I don't even know if he came in and recorded his voice for this movie. They may have just used cut scenes from the last movie because he was in – you know, he was on every poster. He was in every trailer. He was marketed to be the main thing. And that's the worst part about this movie is there were 20-minute spans of no Transformers. There was a car chase with no Transformers. Mm-hmm. There was two scenes of dialogue that took up 15 minutes with no Transformers. There were parts where Mark Wahlberg and the girl would walk into a submarine and they'd come out in completely different clothes. You know there weren't clothes just laying there in that. And the poor girl who goes through all of it.
I noticed that. There was clothing errors in that film.
Changes. They change clothes. And the girl who goes through all this crap, flies out of a helicopter, jumps, gets smacked in the face, her hair and her makeup by the end of the film, God, she looks flawless. She looks like a supermodel. She looks like a supermodel. They make no effort to think about the little things. They make no effort. And I'm done ranting about it.
Go ahead.
I want these movies to be so good. I really do. But I'm going to give this what I gave in my review. And it may sound harsh, but I gave it a 2.8. I gave it a 28 out of 100, 2.8.
That one stings a little bit off.
It is. I don't know if it'll go down as the worst. It is the worst movie of the year, but I don't know if it'll be my least favorite because there's another movie that I watched that was just completely boring. I at least got a visual experience out of this, and that is the only reason it's getting a 2.8 for me. But this might be the worst one out of all of them.
It might be
the worst one.
Well, I'm not going to score it until I get a second watch, a full watch.
If you can make it through.
If I can make it through it, I don't even know if I'll start it again. But I don't have good hopes for it. It's probably going to land somewhere between Joe and Austin's score. Yeah. If you average those two, it'll probably fall right in the middle to guess. So I think that pretty much wraps up the brutal thrashing of the new Transformers movie.
And I do want to say right quick, too, as we're getting ready to wrap up the episode, I can't believe an hour has already passed. On our website over at popxcast.com, when we post the episode tonight, we're actually going to include 11 Easter eggs from the film. So if you are a diehard fan and you wanted to know what was some of those little nuggets that we missed or what was some connections or some things, we actually have a really cool one. We have, I'll just give you some quick ones off of the Horns of Unicron, the Star Wars bombers. Did anybody get that reference? So Want to See Some Dead Droids, which is some Stephen King references. Cogman the Headmaster, who is incredibly like C-3PO. So we also had a cameo from Sam. Bumblebee finally fits in a beetle.
Yes.
And that was kind of cool. And so there's also some kind of cool things like the Dark of the Moon reference where, you have Cybertron coming in and it just totally wrecks the moon. And we got some pretty cool stuff. And so if you're a fan of it, you definitely want to check out our website later tonight as we will have those Easter eggs on this week's post, okay?
And let me say this, Joe. I like Michael Bay as a director because he's got some really good movies that I really enjoy. And I like him as a person, okay? Yeah. He does some things in this movie. If you like Easter eggs and you like little hints towards, potential future things, he's very careful about that kind of stuff. And I will give him that. So if you guys want to check those out, definitely do it because there's some awesome Easter eggs in this movie. Awesome.
Awesome. Well, guys, that pretty much wraps up the last night episode. We want to know, do you agree with us or do you disagree with us? Let us know over on YouTube. Let us know on Twitter or Instagram. We want to hear what you have to say. We also have a Facebook page as well. So be sure to comment when we post this show tonight. And we want to know what you thought. And we want to hear what your review is. If you was going to review this like Joe, Austin, and Lindsay, what would be your number score? So let us know, okay? Mm-hmm. So, yes. And always, guys, if you see something exciting on the shelves at your local comic book shop or in the theater and around geek culture in general, let us know on social media with our hashtag, YoPopX. Now, if you use the hashtag, we could use your post on a future episode of PopX Live. So remember, hashtag, YoPopX.
Also, we are part of an amazing network called the Gonna Geek Network. For all things even more geeky, head over to GonnaGeek.com and check out some amazing podcasts from our home network.
That's right. And as Joe mentioned before, be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. Everywhere is at PopXCast. We love to hear from our listeners. Make sure to send all comments and suggestions to PopXCast@gmail.com. And also for future and past shows, be sure to check out our official website, www.popxcast.com.
I'm at the Burkinator on the Twits and the Instagram, Twits and the Instagrams, and I am Austin Burke on YouTube, where I reviewed Transformers. So you should go check that out.
Yes, and you can find me, Lindsay Badger, at LR Badger, all over the interwebs.
And I'm Joe Burke. I'm the lead podcaster of this here outfit. I don't know what in the world that just means, but it sounds pretty casual. We're just going to throw with it. So you can find me all over the interwebs as Joseph Burke Arts, JOSEPHBURKEARTS. And I'm pretty much there from Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, Facebook. Just find me, okay? And of course, hats off to my amazing team, PopX, right here in this room, who does such an astounding job week after week for helping us. And Lindsay, thank you for all your promotional bliss. And Austin, thank you for your intuitive sight into film creating and just movie reviews. Awesome. And we also want to say truly happy 4th of July from all of us here at Team PopX from here in the United States. Be safe, be responsible, and for goodness sake, don't blow yourself up with some cheap fireworks. All right? Get some name brand stuff. So, but just be responsible. And I do want to say, too, right quick before we go, PopX is going to be taking a little bit of a summer fall hiatus coming up after the Spider-Man review in 2 weeks. So we're going to use this time to kind of revamp, refocus, and use some new technologies that we're wanting to experiment with to try to make this broadcast even better. But in the meantime, we're not going anywhere. We got some pretty cool stuff coming up that Austin and myself and Lindsay are going to be part of. We're going to be bringing you some new stuff in between. So I don't want to drop any details. We'll work that out for the next episode. But we're not going anywhere. So we're going to have a subcategory of PopX. Oh, yeah. So it's going to be fun, it's going to be great, and it's going to be headed up by our amazing contributor, Mr. Austin Burke. Yes.
Mm, that'll be fun.
All right. So remember, PopEx is going to be biweekly. We're going to be taking a little bit of a break, and we'll be coming back in November for Thor Ragnarok after the Spider-Man coming up. But we're not going anywhere. Don't think we're going anywhere. Oh, my God, I'm going to miss my PopEx. No, we're still going to be here, just in a different form, doing some different things. So it's going to be really cool. We hope you like it. And so definitely tune in for 2 weeks, July the 9th, for our episode number 60, Spider-Man Homecoming Review and more. So, guys, are we good to go? Any last-minute closing things or anything? We good?
All right. I'll say, you guys, listen, I love doing this show with you guys. No matter how many downloads, views, whatever, you guys kill it every single week. And everybody that's commenting and liking and just everything that y'all are doing, thank you for watching this show, because I love PopExcast. Right. I love PopExcast.
And stay tuned over in the chat room. We're going to drop a link here where you can come hang out with us in the post-show. We'd love to have you. So if you want to hang out with us, we're going to give you a link here in just a second, and you can come and say hello to Team PopEx in our post show, okay? Ooh. So this is something new we're trying. So, you know, just hang out in the YouTube chat room, and we'll be there in just a second. I'll drop a link for you, okay? So hopefully it'll work out. So take care, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Spider-Man Homecoming. OMG.
From everyone at PopExcast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popexcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopExcast. Get your geek on.